Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. As the announcer stated, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this morning at 9:30 for Bible study and then for a period of worship, and also this evening at 5 and Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. We urge you to come and be with us, but if it's at all impossible for you to do so, log on to eastabbotville.org at those times, and you can both see and hear either the Bible classes or the worship period. Also, keep in mind that tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, Bible Crossfire. Pat Donahue has a program that alive, you can call in your Bible question, speak directly to him, and expect a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on WBSA, but if you're unable to pick up the station at that time and have satellite radio capability, tune to Sirius XM Channel 131. Please keep these things in mind. In the closing words of the Old Testament, they speak of a messenger who would come to prepare the way for Christ. In Malachi 3 and verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And the work of this messenger is further described for us in Malachi chapter 4, as we read verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Christ explained how it was that John the Baptist was this Elijah that would come. We read of this in Matthew the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 11. "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not one risen greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all of the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come." We also find that after Jesus' transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, that Jesus spoke further about this matter of John being Elijah. In Matthew 17, verse 11, Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and that they did not know him, but did to him whatsoever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. When we look a little bit at the background of John, we know that it was under the law of Moses that all priests had to come from the tribe of Levi. But not all Levites were priests. It was to be the family of Aaron that was selected as the priestly family. In Exodus 28, we read about this in verse 1. It says, God says to Moses, Now take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And then verse 43 of Exodus 28, And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. We also read about it in Numbers chapter 3 in verse 10. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. It's also in Numbers 18 and verse 7. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil. And you shall serve. I have given you priest's office unto you as a service of gift. And the stranger that comes nigh shall be put to death. We find that when the land of Canaan was finally conquered and divided up among the 12 tribes of Israel, that the Levites were not given their own territory as the other 11 tribes were. But there were certain cities, and there were a narrow ring of land around the cities that was allocated to the Levites. We read about this, and we don't have time to go and read them verbatim, but if you want to study, you can read about this in Numbers 35, the first 8 verses, and all of Joshua chapter 21. But when the priests became so numerous, it was not necessary for all of them to live in Jerusalem all of the time. So to establish an order and a system, we find that David divided the priest into 24 courses. And again, we don't have time to read this, but you can read it in 1 Chronicles chapter 24 in the first 19 verses. These 24 courses that David set up, they served by turn in the temple. And each course had a chief, and thus that came to be the origin of the term that we read about so often in the New Testament concerning the chief priest. John's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were from priestly families. Zacharias was of the course of Abijah. We read about that in Luke chapter 1. It says in verse 5 and 6 that there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So, that's a profound statement to be made about anyone, but notice we are told that Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And though they were both well up into years, they had no children. And it's in Luke 1 and verse 7 that it says that they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. However, we find that the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared to Zacharias while he was serving in the temple and told him that his wife would bear a son and that they would name him John. We read about this in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. We find, too, that the angel also spoke of John's greatness when we drop on down to verse 14. He said, "And you shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he shall turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." We know also that John grew up in the hills and in the wilderness of Judea. If we drop on down where we are here in Luke chapter 1 to verse 80, this is what we find. "And so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel." But there was a general expectation, let me say, among righteous people that there was a deliverer that was coming, and it was about that time for that deliverer to come. This we read about in Luke, the 3rd chapter. And notice in what verse 15 says. "Now as the people were in expectation, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not." So we see that righteous and just men like Simeon, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We find that in Luke, the 2nd chapter, and there in the 25th verse. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by this Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he would see the Christ." We see that in verse 26 of Luke chapter 2. "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." There was another individual too, Anna. She was a prophetess from the tribe of Asher. She was one of the many who, the statement is made in Luke chapter 2 and verse 38, said, "And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." So she was one of the many who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So as John preached in the wilderness of Judea, the Jewish religious leaders in Jerusalem, they sent a delegation of priests and Levites to John to learn if he was the Messiah. We read about this in John's account in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. Let's begin reading with verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah had said." It goes on in verse 24. "Now those that were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethsabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So, in seeing the background of John, we now see the point being made that John clearly states that he is the forerunner of the Christ. As John preached in the region around Jordan, he was preparing the way for Christ. And he quotes from Isaiah in Luke chapter 3. In quoting from Isaiah, Luke tells us there in Luke chapter 3 and verse 5 that every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth. So Luke is quoting this from Isaiah. And he's telling us of this imagery that is characteristic of the work that John is doing. And so the imagery, what Luke is describing and what Isaiah prophesies, is drawn from the building of a highway. Now, John is not literally digging down hills and filling up valleys like a road builder, but he was going to be dealing with people in different walks of life. The valleys were the downcast, the hopeless, the dispirited, those that needed to be lifted up and given hope. The mountains would stand for the self-righteous, the arrogant, the haughty, the proud. They must be brought to a true humility of spirit and be willing to bow at God's word. The crooked were those who had been crooked in their dealings with their fellow men. They needed to be straightened out. And the rough, otherwise good people, who were rough in their ways and inconsiderate of the feelings of others, they needed to learn gentleness and forbearance and consideration, and have consideration for others. Another work that John had was to point out and to identify the Messiah to Israel. And John did just that. When we look in John, the Gospel of John's account, in John chapter 1, notice with me as we drop down to verse 32. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. When we look at John's message, John brought into the nation of Israel the message of repentance. And he also brought the message of the establishment of the kingdom of heaven being at hand. We read this in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Let's look at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he also warned, too, of the judgment. And he warned of eternal punishment that awaited the wicked. While we're here in Matthew 3, let's drop on down to verse 12. It says, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the shaft with unquenchable fire. This again is John preaching the message of what Christ would do. But it was the message that finally cost John his life was the doctrine concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage. We read about this in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 14. It says in verse 1, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John, and bound him, and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." So John taught that about marriage and divorce, as well as remarriage. And our Lord taught the very same thing when, a little bit later on in Matthew, the 19th chapter, the question will be asked of Jesus in verse 3, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And Jesus answers and says to him in Matthew 19 and verse 4, "Have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason shall a man leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?' So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" And he said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." So John and Jesus taught the same thing, but we know that in John's case, that was the thing that brought the end to John's life. Herod and Herodias were not lawful to be married, and this enraged Herodias so that on that occasion, when Herod had Herodias' daughter to dance before him, and she pleased him, he offered her even to the half of his kingdom. But when she went to her mother to ask what she should ask of Herod, it was her mother that said she wanted the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And of course, that's exactly what the girl asked for. And Herod was under great pressure to do anything otherwise, so he had John the Baptist beheaded. Let's look now at John's baptism. John's baptism, we find in Luke chapter 3 and verse 3, was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And it was preceded by a confession of sin. In Matthew 3 and verse 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all of Judea and all of the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." And that, of course, we know accomplished the remission of sins. We also read in John 3, verse 22, beginning, that after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. John also was baptized in Aenon, near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest record, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." You see, the common people, even tax collectors, they accepted John's baptism. And as Luke 7 and verse 29 teaches, they justified God. But in Luke 7 and verse 30, the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. Basically, we see three classes of people that came to John. Some men came confessing their sins, as Matthew 3 and verse 6 says. These John baptized without question or delay. Then there were those who claimed they were already saved. These John refused to baptize. In Matthew 3, it says in verse 7, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And then there was that third category of people that came to John, classes of people, and that was they consisted of a single case, namely the sinless Son of God. We read about this in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 15. Of course, Jesus was the exception to the rule, but he desired to fulfill all righteousness. So, a point that we need to think, to reject the baptism of John was to reject God, what is it to the baptism that Jesus Christ commands? You know, Luke 7, verses 29 and 30, it said, All people that heard him and the publican justified God being baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So again, I ask the question, if to reject the baptism of John was to reject God, what is it for us today to reject the baptism that Jesus commands? Before time runs out, let us make this point. John did not build any church, nor was he a member of the church that Christ built. There are many people that are under the mistaken idea that John the Baptist established the church, and that's what they claim to be a member of. But friends, John the Baptist was dead and was buried when Jesus made the promise to build his church in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 10 and in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. No, John was never a member of the church that Jesus promised to build, nor did John build one of his own. We have the record of John's death. I've sort of paraphrased it just a few moments ago, but if you want to take the time, John's death is recorded in Matthew chapter 14 and those first 12 verses, and also in Mark's account in Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. And we know that Jesus was told of John's death in Mark chapter 6, verses 29 and 30. So even though John was a forerunner of Jesus and prepared the people for Jesus' coming, and he told them of the coming kingdom, he himself did not live to see the kingdom established, nor was he ever a citizen of it. But friends, doesn't that cause us to realize what a great opportunity that you and I have, that John did not have, and that is to be a member of the church of our Lord, to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. Surely it does. We see your time is gone. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.